Hey, gang, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman here. Hey, Brandon.
Yes?
You gotta change that, what do you call it when you bring our show in and bumper? The guy's talking about the Four Outdoorsmen?
Oh, yeah, like the imaging?
But yeah, is that what it's called? And then you gotta change that. You understand that, right? You listen to it, obviously.
That's a Jeff Jones job.
Oh, he's busy. He's busy fishing.
We'll get her taken care of.
That's Brandon, the fourth outdoorsman tonight. Mark Lukey's my buddy. I'm Steve Strusinski. But our other fourth outdoorsman is Sam Oftedal. And Big Sam is where, Mark?
Sam is at the Magpul Wyoming Governor's Cup. So he is rubbing elbows with some big wigs in Wyoming for a shooting deal. We'll have to get more info on that. But I did see a funny Facebook photo of him flying, and he was the only person on the plane. I suppose not a lot of people are traveling to Wyoming.
And there's not a lot of room when Sam's on the plane. So oh, yeah. There could be. But really, is that right? How they make money? How are these airlines staying in business?
I don't know.
Are we going to bail them out again?
Probably. We got to have airplanes, right? I don't know.
They didn't 100 years ago. Yeah, wow, what a mess.
So Sam is gone this week, but he's coming back tomorrow. I know he's listening in Wyoming, so hello, Sam. And we are traveling this Thursday.
Yes, but we'll be back for the show, and Sam better be back for the show as well, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are going to
Devil's Lake.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Devil's Lake Tourism, our number one sponsor, of course, have been for many, many years. And we've got, we're going to be going, first time ever taking a guide on Devil's Lake, although Tanner's taken us a number of times, and he's not legally a guide, but he sure knows what the hell he's doing over there. But Perch Eyes, Jason from Perch Eyes, is going to take us Saturday or Friday and show us what's going on. And we're going to find out how good Jason and Perch Eyes guide service is. As a matter of fact, Jason's going to be on at about 6:10 to talk a little bit about what's happening in Devil's Lake.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him about that. And I'm excited for the format of this trip. We can talk about that later. But, of course, we're going to go fishing because it's such a great fishing destination. But we're going to go golfing. We're going to go to the casino. We're going to have an all-around vacation-y type experience.
Yeah, we might even take a little hike because Susie tells me there's great hiking trails all around.
No, I'm out.
No, you're not going to do that?
No, I've gout now, I think. did I tell you about this?
No, you didn't.
I don't know. My toe's been killing me, and I thought I stubbed it, but the more I read, I think I might have the gout.
So you are diagnosing yourself, right?
Yeah, I tried to go into the doctor, but they're like, next available is in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Dr. Brandon. Dr. Brandon, can you help here, pal?
Doctor?
The doctor is in.
Dr. Brandon, have you been listening to this conversation at all?
Not at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. My buddy Mark has some issues, and he's diagnosing himself, so I think you better step in.
COVID-19.
If I die. Only if I die.
No, he's been wearing a mask on his foot, yeah, so he's okay. Yeah. He's having issues with his foot. He thinks he's got gout.
The gout? Probably.
Do you know anything about that?
That it's common. People get it. It's not a big deal.
Oh. There you go.
Well, it is a big deal. It hurts.
It hurts, but life hurts.
That's true.
Take two.
Well, when it said... I was reading up on it. What are the cures for gout? And it says, stop drinking beer.
Uh-oh.
And stop eating red meat.
That ain't going to happen.
Here's the one. They take it or leave it. Tart cherry juice.
Really?
It helps with like inflammation, pain, whatever, all that kind of stuff. And it does help.
Well, if I have to give up beer and red meat, I might cut my foot off.
I don't think that's last resort.
Yeah.
I think let's try some other methods first.
Well, I don't know. Maybe try that tart cherry juice.
Brandon, I tell you what, I know a couple of guys who had gout, and they said the same thing. The cherry juice is the.
I thought that was for a urinary tract.
That's for everything. You know,
well,
that's,
you probably are suffering from that too.
That too.
No, that
it'll knock out everything.
That causes a urinary tract problem, but then there's something else for that.
Yeah, I got it from my aunt who is a.
You got gout from your aunt?
No, she dealt with pain in her hands all the time.
Yeah.
And that was her like kind of magic deal. And I do from playing the guitar and all that kind of stuff. I got carpal tunnel, things like that. So it's not in my feet, but it's, you know, a similar sort of deal. And it does help.
I'll tell you what, my lovely wife Diana is listening right now, as she always does. And she's writing this down because she has arthritis really bad in her fingers. And I can guarantee on the way to the cabin tomorrow she's buying some cherry juice or something like that. Yeah,
I just got a text from Sam. He says I don't hike, so you're outvoted, buddy.
Jeepers creepers.
Hey, 2-1.
You saw the text we got from Susie, right?
Yeah.
And can I mention that?
I I don't know which one you're referring
well,
to.
Well, it's not bad, you know, but it's funny.
You tend to send texts that are like four conversations.
I know. Well, I like to have fun. Anyway, Susie is she's the boss, and I guess she's the boss of Devil's Lake Tourism, and she's, again, our number one sponsor. We love her dearly. Can't wait to have dinner with her on Thursday night. But she said, hey, when you guys come, I've got some swag for you. Brandon, now you can hear right now, right, Brandon?
Yes,
all
I
right.
can.
I've got some swag for you guys. Why don't you get your everyone's shirt sizes and get them back to me, and they'll be all set when you get here. So I get back to her. I said, I need a medium, and the other two guys need 3X. And she texts me back, and she goes, well, it looks like you're the only one getting swag, she says.
I'm used to that, man.
I'll take a large.
What's every promo shirt? I was in radio for a while. Every promo shirt's an extra large, right?
Is that right?
And if you're 2X and up, you are out of luck.
That's what she said. I'm the only guy getting swag when I show up in Devil's Lake.
You little guys are so lucky.
Well, I guess we are, yeah.
We only have 3 minutes till our first guest. You want me to do shout-outs?
Yeah, do that.
We'll save stories if we need some later, but...
I've got stories.
Thank you, everyone that wrote to the Four Outdoorsman shout-out. You can comment on our post every week, and we will announce it on the radio. All you have to do is lay a comment and a picture in the section. So I have a couple here I'm going to get going. One from Matt Newman, who I spent the weekend with. Thanks, Matt. I had a great time with him and his family in the Turtle Lake area. He's got 4 kids. I had 3, so it was basically a daycare all weekend, but we managed to have fun out on the boat and on the Alumacraft. Shannon Cruz says full moon tomorrow. He looks excited about that. Corey Bechtold says full report to come on What's Working Now Facebook page. Still in the boat as I send this message. That's awesome. And he said something about having a live stream, so go check out Corey Bechtold and What's Working Now page. Sam Oftedal, our co-host, says, shout out from the Wyoming Governor's Cup 3-gun shoot. My friend and neighbor Jim Dickerman sending a nice picture from Lake of the Woods. Beauty fish there, Jim. Let's see what else. Daniel Meyer says, give a shout out to Hometown Heroes Outdoors. Alicia Ann then wrote, Hometown Heroes Outdoors partnered with others on our 4th annual Freedom Veterans shoot in Waverly, Minnesota last night. We had 29 boats and their captains, which made it possible to take over 70 veterans, current military law enforcement officers out. Got out, shot fish, made memories, and enjoyed great company. That's awesome. What a great picture. And Paul Graham wrote, gotta have faith in fishing, with a great picture there. So thank you, everyone, for the shout-outs, and thank you, everyone, at Hometown Heroes Outdoors for taking so many of our heroes out, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Thanks for giving back. A lot of people in this industry really, really give back. Hang on a second. You got the wrong number?
I'm getting Jason's voicemail.
Okay, all right. I'll text Jason. If we don't get Jason, we don't get Jason, but I talked to him a couple of hours ago. He's the guide from Perch Eyes in Devil's Lake who's going to be with us on Friday. A couple of shout-outs myself. Dave Olson from Owatonna was voted the 2019 Firearms Safety Instructor of the Year. And maybe that'll be Sam Oftedal for 2020. Never know that. Congratulations, Dave. And Janelle Secord, Coon Rapids, 2019 ATV Safety Instructor of the Year. And good for those guys. And good for Janelle to get her body working really hard and not falling off those machines and teaching the kids how to be safe. One more shout out. Will Goble, a Willie boy. Shout out Will Goble. He's taking the boys' night catfishing one of these days. I'm putting you on the spot, Will. Nothing yet? Okay, I'll tell you what. Well, we'll just keep on talking. Try a couple more times. If not, see, you know, it's not a big deal. We're going to talk to Jason for about 5 minutes and see what's happening on Devil's Lake and promo Perch Eyes if we could a little bit, but apparently he's out there fishing, doing some other things. Yeah. So what? Now, tell the story about the drone. That must have been cool.
Oh, I went with my friend Matt, and he's got all the coolest toys and gadgets. He's kind of a gadgets guy, and he has a drone. We're all familiar with drones, but the cool thing is he had 3D goggles, right?
Yeah.
So you strap this thing to your head, and you fly the drone around, and it is as if you're looking out the drone. So you're flying around, and I don't like heights a whole lot, so it was a little strange, but it was really cool. You get to fly around. You get to check out everything. What a great tool if you have hunting land and you want to kind of look at different things like that. So I did a drive-by. Only thing that happens with those is the battery goes out really quick. But
and when the battery goes out, does it crash or does it just land?
Once it gets low, it kind of just hones into an area.
Yeah.
So I think we have our caller.
Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jason, thanks for joining us. Jason, what is your last name?
Feldner.
That's good enough for me. I couldn't, I can't spell it, can't say it, but that's good enough for me. I'll call you Jason from Perch Eyes. Jason is the guy, we hired, and Perch Eyes is the company we hired to take us fishing. It's going to be Sam, Big Sam, Mark, and myself are going to be fishing with you on Friday morning, early Friday morning. What's happening in Devil's Lake? What can we expect from you and fishing on Friday? If tomorrow was Friday, what could we expect?
You're going to catch a lot of fish. It's just on fire right now. We're catching a lot of small fish, but what we've been bringing in is 15 to 20 inches. That's been the average bag that we've been bringing in. But, I mean, there's days we're catching 100 walleyes. You know, a lot of them. You work at it, you just weed through them, and then you get a nice basket of fish by the end of the day.
It sounds like a lot of fun to me. Yeah, because
we've been a lot of night crawlers.
Yeah. Well, you're going to take care of us, pal. That's where we're going to fork up the cash. We're going to take care of us. You're going to earn your tip. I tell you what, we're hands on. I don't even know if I'm going to bring my fishing rod. Mark said he's bringing his, but I think you got the gear. And
yeah,
I want to see what it's like.
Yeah, we've got everything.
Yeah. Okay. So how many guys now? You're with Perch Eyes. Are you the owner of Perch Eyes?
Yes, I am. I'm the owner of it, and I have six other guides that work for me.
Good for you. Good for you. Are you fairly busy this summer?
Oh, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. You know, we got lodging, too, so we do packages for typical packages, 4 nights and 3 days guide. So you can book everything and pay one person. You don't have to look around for a hotel room, anything like that. Come in as a customer and leave as a friend.
You know, it's funny you mention that because we have a cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, which is neither here nor there, but we just put some funny, those real warm sayings on our walls. We painted the cabin and did some renovations, and we had exactly the same thing on our wall that it says, you come as a guest and you leave as a friend. Same thing you have, only you have a customer. I told Diana, hey, let's just change around and say you come as a friend and leave as a guest and see if anybody would notice. But see if anybody would notice. How long have you owned Perch Eyes?
This is my 20th summer.
Wow.
And what do you do this full time?
Yes, this is our full time job for all seven of us.
Really?
Yes, we do the open water fishing, the ice fishing, and then we do some fall waterfall guiding, a little bit of bow hunting customers also.
Boy, that is rare. I think it's rare. We've been doing this show for about 7 years, and we know a lot of guides, a lot of people from who fish and DNR and all of that. I'm guessing, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, what do you think? Maybe 10% of the guys who do guide do it as a full-time job. Well, I'm proud of you, man. You must be doing something right.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but, at the end of the day, you're working for yourself, and you only get out of it what you put into it. So we try to give 100% every day and keep everybody happy and get return customers.
Hey, tell me the best success story you've got of 2020.
Fishing-wise?
Yeah.
15 walleyes in the boat in 18 minutes, and they're all 15 to 20 inches.
Oh, God.
Wow.
But that was actually last week. We rolled into a spot. I found it later in the day, the day before. We rolled in there, and they were just on fire. It was just triples after triples after triples.
I don't know where Susie's going to put us. She's going to put us in a hotel someplace. And I forget what we stayed at. We've stayed at every hotel in Devil's Lake. But what landing are we going to be meeting you at?
We're at the west end of the lake, so what we'll probably do is meet you at Drifter's Bait Shop in Minnewaukan. We got a boat ramp about a mile down the road, and we typically fish the west end and the north end of the lake. Okay.
So what's going on with the midsummer bite there in Devil's Lake? Are you guys doing like bottom bouncer type stuff? Or?
Yep, exactly. Bottom bouncers and spinners with a half a crawler with Indiana blades. It's been really, really good. You know, once we get a limit, sometimes we'll go cast and try to play around with some white bass, see if we can pick up a few pike. But this typically isn't the pike time of year. Normally that's May and June.
Yeah.
You know, the water temperatures start getting up in the 70s and stuff, and they just kind of disperse and just roam. You know, we catch a few, but not a ton right now.
Yeah. Kurt Walbeck is a good friend of ours, and he, of course, has Outdoor Bound TV on ABC. He's been out there for a long, long time. I talked to him. We had him on the show last week as well. And he said, if you get a chance, I don't care how many walleyes you catch, if you get a chance an hour or two just before sundown, go out and go catch some white bass. He said they were like little kids. They laughed and laughed and laughed. They had so much fun.
Oh, and that's the nice thing about this with Devil's Lake area. You know, once we're done there during the day, we tell our customers, hey, bring your rods. You guys can go shore fishing. We got so many spots to shore fish, and you can go play around and waste the rest of the afternoon, especially chasing the white bass, and you might catch a pike or two.
What does white bass taste like? Do people just smoke it? Or do they?
Some people like them, some people don't. You know, you just take the back meat off, you take the mud line down, and you don't eat that because it's just kind of nasty. Just the back strip on them can be pretty darn good. I like to soak them in milk for a couple hours before I fry them up, and they're definitely better fresh than frozen. Once they're frozen, they get a little bit stronger taste.
Sound like almost anything.
That'd be a negative for me.
No, I hear you.
Hey, Jason.
I'm lucky. I get to catch walleyes every day. So I don't
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Why mess with the white bass, man?
If you catch walleyes every day, try to listen to our show tonight. If you can, go to mybobcountry.com and find us and push the button and play, because at 6:40 we've got Byron Easterling. He's on Lake of the Woods right now, and he has caught well over 110-pound walleyes in his life. And he's
going nice.
Yeah, that's a. I can't wait to talk to this guy. So we're going to have a hell of a show tonight, and you're part of it. Jason Perch Eyes Guide Service on Devil's Lake. We are going to see you Friday. When we get there on Thursday, I'll give you a call. We'll, again, confirm where we're going to meet. I'm looking forward to it, and you take care of us, pal. You take care of us.
No problem. We'll take care of you.
I'll talk to you Thursday.
Thank you.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it sounds like a good guy, man. They're having success.
To have 7 guides full-time, I don't know. That's a successful company. What do they make? I don't know.
I think you almost have to be in a place that's a fishing destination like Devil's Lake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like people are traveling there constantly just to go fishing with guides. So, like that in Lake of the Woods can sustain that kind of thing, but your Joe Schmo Lake probably can't sustain, 7 full-time guys.
Yeah, and everybody knows by now, if they listen to this show, that one of the cool things about Devil's Lake is you can catch 5 a day and keep 5 a day and 10 in possession. So that's a lot. And, boy, I'll be bringing some fish home to my gorgeous wife, Diana.
Yeah, we're going to have to bring some coolers or something.
Oh, that's right. Oh, we'll buy one of those $3 styrofoam ones and bust it before we get home.
Oh, I got one.
Do you?
I got one, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
My in-laws brought some beef from the farm, and I have this styrofoam cooler. Let's bring that back.
That's all we need, because we have one at the cabin. I was going to throw it away. It's a Green Bay one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we'll find some use for it. Well,
don't throw that away.
I got a use right now, yeah. No, that's going to be fun. And Sam's going to be with us as well, so we're looking forward to that. Hey, our next guest, our first guest is Chris Fitzgerald. He's a sheriff with Barron County. And he's been a sheriff for about 12 years, if I remember, something like that. And he's going to share a few stories with us about what happened on the 4th of July weekend, some of the stories that he was involved with, and something about his career. I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to have Chris Fitzgerald on next. Are you all set there, Brandon? Let's give it a break. Talk to you right back. Thanks, everybody. Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
There's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park, just west of St. Cloud, or shop online at mckaysdodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
Brad Clark here again with what has to be my favorite Bob FM marketing keyword, jingle.
American Pressure. Spray it, don't say it.
You've heard those jingles before, and you might even be singing along. And right now, I would bet that you could sing multiple jingles from your childhood. Jingles are that memorable and brand businesses for decades. Here at Bob FM, we work with the company that created all the jingles you just heard. If you want to break through the clutter and get your business remembered, we have a special offer on how you can get a jingle for your business. If you're interested in branding your business with a jingle, text the word jingle to 763-450-0100 and I'll give you a call. Make sure you ask how Bob FM can underwrite the cost of your jingle package. Keep listening for marketing keywords. Texas, right here on Bob FM.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsman. Strewman, Mark Lukey, Sam is in Wyoming. He's doing some kind of a gun show. We can't, this can't be an every other weekend deal for Sam, is it?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, well, as long as he brings us a couple of sponsors and brings us back some swag, we're okay. But Sam...
It's good that one of us is out actually doing outdoorsy stuff.
You know, we're in studio having a lot of fun here. I'll tell you what, our next guest is Chris Fitzgerald. Chris is a Barron County, Wisconsin sheriff. Chris, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. I'll tell you what, of course, the reason I'm having you on the air is my wife and I have a place in Chautauqua, and we're on the chain of in Chautauqua a lot. And
a lot this year, anyway.
The sandbar is our second home, you know. But we're not we're in our 60s, so we're not one of those young kids that are causing all kinds of troubles out there. But it has been a wonderful, wonderful season, and of course, we've had this place for 30 some years, and so we get the wiper and the Chautauqua paper and the Rice Lake Chronicle and read all the stories and the things that happen in your job daily. How the hell do you do this on a daily basis and say, man, I've done this for so many years. There were a couple of incidents on the chain that I think are amazing. And I want you to describe a little bit first about your background. How did you end up getting into the position you are as sheriff of Barron County?
Well, sure. I'm a local boy. I'm a Rice Lake kid. So I've lived in Rice Lake my whole life. And
you're a friend of Billy Moles.
Yep, and started Rice Lake PD, and I'm a graduate of the Rice Lake High School and started at Rice Lake PD, worked there 10 years, and I was appointed by the former governor of Wisconsin, and then just been the sheriff for about 12 years, and yeah, Barron County's been on the map here. We've had some pretty major cases, and the tornado and the cloth case, and a lot of different things happen here, and our market is the Minneapolis area, and so all the news that Minneapolis gets is covered is our Barron County news, and I have a lot of great friendships have been created with a lot of the news people over there in Minnesota.
You know, I'll tell you what, you talked about the tornado. What a rotten deal this has been for most people who live in this general area, because the tornado, I can't believe only one person died. And when you drive the chain or drive up SS toward Highway 8 and start going toward Barron and Turtle Lake, the devastation is unbelievable. And yeah. Our house, we are right by Lakeview Resort on the chain, if you know where that is, up by Cartwright Point. So we might have been maybe a mile south of it. And we had a couple of trees come down, but nothing hit our buildings or anything. And it was just devastating. People don't understand. If you've never seen it close up, you have no idea the power of nature.
Yeah, and it's way different on the look on the water versus the land. It's totally different when you see it. And, you know, that's the longest tornado in Wisconsin history is you were part of it.
Yeah, and then 6 months later, they had the straight line winds come through. And I'll tell you what, it was almost as bad. I thought, man, this has been a tough road for these guys. And fortunately, again, nothing came down in our cabin. We've been there for 30 years, and I'm knocking on wood because we've dodged a bullet a number of times. So, hey, let's talk about, okay, you're friends with Billy Moles. Are you friends of his personally or just on social media?
A little bit of both. He's a local guy too, so it's nice to have those local connections. And I'm not a big hunting fisherman, but spend my time on the lake. A lot of our deputies hunt and fish and do all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, Billy's been a good friend of ours for many, many years. As a matter of fact, He and Stacy have been to our cabin, brought the kids one day, and he's just become a really good friend. That's one of the good things about the job that Mark and I do, and Mark is right to the left of me, and if I ever give him a chance to talk, he'll say hi.
Hello.
There, he's done. Right? The rest is up to me, Chris. But it's the people who you meet, the relationships you develop and sustain. That's what's good about our job and being out in the public like we are. And you're also a friend of Ken Bramall, right?
Yep.
And he's so you must be a golfer.
I should take some more lessons from Kent.
He's down in the Twin Cities right now at Clifton Highlands. Have you been down here to play Clifton Highlands?
No.
Gorgeous.
No, I haven't.
Absolutely gorgeous. Come on down and see Ken. Surprise him because it's gorgeous. All right, let's get back to the 4th of July weekend on the Chetek Channel Lakes. There were a couple of incidents. You know which ones I'm talking about.
Right.
Talk first about the person who was on the pontoon, and you see stupid stuff like this every day. Tell us what happened in that situation.
Well, obviously the 4th of July and every weekend due to COVID has been kind of a 4th of July weekend for us. And
yeah.
It's something we've never experienced before up here. The lakes, as you can contest to, have been packed every weekend, every single weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was riding on the front of the pontoon, which is illegal to ride. A lot of people don't know this, and that's why we have a boat patrol and an ATV patrol. A lot of it's education. We made about 160 stops and only issued, I think, 21 citations over the 4th of July weekend. And that's a DNR Sheriff's Department working out there in conjunction with each other to make sure everybody's safe. But the female's riding on the front of the pontoon, which is illegal to ride in front of the gate. But it was warm. They're cruising right along. She had a child on her lap. Well, they hit a wave. And obviously, when you have somebody on your lap, you lose balance. And you reach for the child to make sure they're okay, and they both went overboard. Obviously, the female didn't have a life jacket on. The child had a life jacket on. She pushed the child out further, and she got sucked under the boat.
Oh, boy.
And the prop hit her, and from her butter knee all the way up her back to the middle part of her back, the prop hit, and she then, you know, luckily didn't knock her out, and she was conscious and able to get to up above the water again. And then another pontoon right behind them stopped, grabbed her, and obviously then called 911. And you know, our emergency team and Chetek Fire Department, the volunteer fire department, are some of the best firefighters around, and they were in the water and on the lake. And we were already on the lake with our sheriff's boat, so we all responded, and the Lifelink helicopter landed right there by the resort.
Yeah.
And
Linda's got to say hi to Linda. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Linda.
Yeah.
Linda's Lakeshore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we closed IWM and we land that helicopter. It's stationed right here. We have a flight helicopter that's stationed right in Barron County, one of our greatest assets we have.
Oh, I bet.
And they landed within 6 minutes, and she was on her way to a Minneapolis hospital within about 12 minutes, I think, after the accident. It was pretty impressive.
Was alcohol involved in this one?
No, not at that. Not on this one. There was no alcohol. I didn't say none, but not enough for any arrests for alcohol violations. Now, obviously, there were some violations about where she was riding, and the driver received some citations, which was a family member. But, you know, but now... no OWI on that.
I'll tell you what, you know, we'll talk about the next incident as well, but my wife and I have a TMC pontoon boat like everybody does around there because they do a good job. They're local. They're right there in Poskan. And ours is about, 15 years old. And they don't make this boat anymore, but we've got the two fishing seats in front as well. You're telling me, even if I'm out there with a life jacket, I can't sit on those chairs when the boat is in motion.
That is correct. You can't be in front of the gate.
Well, what the hell do they make this one? Why did they give me the boat? Well, how come the chair?
Fishing, man.
Yeah.
Park the boat.
That's for when you're stopped and you're fishing.
Oh, man. I go to the party and golf. That's what I do. But
yeah.
Oh, that's now I know. And we have 10. We have 10 grandkids, and they love going out there and sitting. And fortunately, with this time, we got stopped as well on the 4th of July, but it was for a life jacket infraction because we had enough life jackets. We thought. But one of them was a throwable thing, you know. So we had to go back, and I forget who the young men were, but they They made us go back and get another life. We got a whole bunch of them in the garage, but I never knew that. So now I know, and I thank you very much. You're talking about this lady sitting in front with a kid. My wife and I, a couple of years ago, saw somebody on a speedboat with the pointed bow, and a guy is on the bow, and he's got his legs straddled around the bow. He's got a little child, no life jacket. The kid was not more than two, and the boat is moving, and he's got him by the wrist, and he's dipping him in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid's laughing, having a good time. I thought, you've got to be kidding me.
It only takes a second, and no one ever thinks nothing bad's going to happen. And we can prove that even in northwest Wisconsin, in the small towns that we have, that bad things happen, and we have to be smart about what we're doing.
Hey, talk about the second incident, because I think it's amazing, and I have to find out. I know how you guys did what you did to solve this problem, but tell the story and describe exactly what you had to do to stop that boat.
Sure. It was the Tuesday after the 4th of July, and I happened to be in the parking lot of our sheriff's department, which is about 9 miles away from Chautauqua, and we got a call of a boat that didn't have anybody in it that was circling, and people were yelling in the water. So obviously we thought someone fell out. We weren't exactly sure. So we dispatched fire, EMS, and our rec guy happened to be there, and he hooked up to his boat, and we raced down there in emergency mode, unloaded the boat. And by that time we had got some information during that 9 minutes that there was three people in a boat pulling a tube. And it was a fishing boat with a rear tiller motor.
Okay.
And basically they were whipping around the lake on a Tuesday afternoon, and there was a child on the driver's seat, driver's knee, and the dad was driving, and he was making waves, and they hit a wave, and again, the child went forward. The dad went to grab the child. The boat turned the other way, and the dad and child flew off the boat.
And there was one other child in the boat as well, correct?
That's correct, a 13-year-old girl without a life jacket. Now the younger child had a life jacket on. The dad did not have a life jacket on. Mom and the other son were on the tube. They jumped off to help dad, and so the 13-year-old is in this boat all by herself. She gets scared, jumps off. The boat does hit her in the head, but just brushes her.
Okay.
Did not hurt her at all, but she was able to push the boat away, and they all swam to a pontoon. Again, another pontoon person came out and rescued them. But now we have this loose boat continuing to go around because he didn't have his stop stick around his arm.
Right.
So, you know, that would have stopped the boat immediately when he falls off. But, again, people don't think bad things are going to happen. And so we had to stop this boat. So everybody's okay. We get them to shore. EMS takes care of them. No one's injured, not one injury in that one. So it was great. We then arrive in our boat, and I happen to be in the boat with our rec officer, Jeff Wolf, and he says, we got to last through the boat. And I said, don't you just jump in? And he says, no, that's too dangerous. So when there's a moving boat, you try to stop the motor. And so he tells me to throw this rope. Well, the rope went about 5 feet, and I said, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell the story that we lasted it on the first try. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But we got a thicker rope, you know, kind of like a ski rope. And he said, and then he started doing circles right with the boat, and we threw it in the motor, and sure enough, the rope sinks and just catches the motor and ties up the thing, and it comes to a dead stop. And then he got in and shut the motor off, and we undid the rope from the prop, and he drove the boat to shore for them, and I drove our boat. So.
Oh, that's, you know, it's amazing. If that was the 4th of July weekend, there would have been 1,000 boats on the water. This is Tuesday. Most of the people have gone home.
Right.
So obviously it was a lot easier for you guys. So it took about 12 or 15 minutes for you to get on the water to try to do this, right?
Yeah, exactly. At least that. So, it was amazing that it wasn't the 4th of July, because that boat would have, it, for some reason, just stayed in the circle, too. It didn't move closer to shore. But, yeah, during the 4th of July, and a lot of people would have tried to jump in that boat. Well,
absolutely.
That just causes more problems, and you don't do that. We train. He actually went to a boat reconstruction school last year that showed him how to do all this. And our second option is to shoot the motor, so we were hoping we didn't have to do that. But that's the other option they train, is to shoot the motor so it stops, because it's a dangerous, obviously, they have a loose boat out there.
If you shoot the motor, where are you going to shoot? What part of the motor are you going to try to hit?
They just said they shoot the casing, you know, the main part of the motor, and he had brought his shotgun with us, and so he was going to put a slug through the motor. That would have been bad, but that's the option, too, because we never train or teach to you know, jump in a moving boat.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, like you said, if this is the 4th of July, I can guarantee you there would have been 30 guys going to try to be a hero. I can guarantee it.
Exactly what would have happened. And we were, again, blessed that no one else got hurt and that he got his boat back and his family was safe. And but that just shows you we have a program in Bern County called Kids Don't Float, and that just means all of our kids need to have life jackets when a bad incident happens. We should all have them on, but we need to have our kids have them on so that as a parent, if somebody goes overboard, if somebody hits your boat, you know, we had a boating accident probably a month and a half ago on the Chautauqua chain that we haven't solved yet. A boat at 2 a.m. crashed into a pontoon full of people and backed up and took off. And so we're actually investigating still a hit and run, a boating accident from prior to the 4th of July.
Yeah, that was, I read about that as well. And that was just south of our cabin, not too far from Lakeview Resort in that general area. And I can't believe.
Yeah. And so we still haven't solved that one. And we have pictures of the three gentlemen, but we can't find them. So they were probably up vacationing maybe from, you know, that lake is split between Minnesota and Chicago. About half and half, we kind of figure a little bit more Illinois than Minnesota on that lake.
Why are you, being a sheriff from Bern County, why are you on the water? I always thought it was just conservation officers who did the DNR stuff, like the water rescues and whatnot, and patrols.
Yeah, the DNR doesn't have enough manpower or personnel to do that, so they actually fund part of our program for a sheriff's deputy to be on the water. So a lot of the counties in rural Wisconsin have partnerships with the DNR. For every hour we work on the water or on our trail system or on the snowmobile, we get funds back from the DNR because we only have one warden in Bern County. Now we've just been awarded a second warden for Bern County. So we only have two wardens that are responsible for all of the recreation, hunting, and fishing in Bern County. And, you know, we have hundreds of lakes.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful part of the world. It really is. And one of the best things, we've been there like 33 years, give or take, but it's an hour and 45 minutes from the Twin Cities. And unfortunately, you know, people say it gets green. Yeah, it does, but it doesn't bother me. I don't go swimming much anyway. But this year is as clean as we've ever seen it in 30 years in July or August. It really is. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't know why. It is a little cleaner. I've heard the exact same thing. And it gets a little green, but it's just so beautiful still. And a lot of people are using it. Maybe it's getting more use this year than it ever has, and maybe that's why it's not green.
It's a beautiful part of the world. I'll tell you, we're talking about being prepared and being smart and being safe and all of that. My only real concern, my preventive move when I get on the pontoon boat is to make sure I've got a Folgers coffee can to take a leak in. That's as far as I go. You know, I don't. The rest of it doesn't bother me. I can handle the rest of it, but. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hey, now you've been a Bern County Sheriff, what, 10, 12 years?
12 years, 13 next month.
Have you been taking notes so you can write a book someday?
I should have, especially with the Kloss case and the tornado. I mean, it's just put Bern County on the map on a national level, and we have just such a great team here of deputies and troopers and DNR wardens and local law enforcement, and it's a good team effort in Northwest Wisconsin, and one of the best places I've always said in every interview I've ever done is Northwest Wisconsin is a great place to be a cop. We're well supported by the media and the citizens that we serve, and it's not like, you know, Minneapolis or L.A. or something like that. And that's why I enjoy being a law enforcement officer.
And you didn't mention Chris Cruzy. You got to mention his name. There's a lot of good things about the Northwest Wisconsin area. He's doing fine as well.
Yeah, Chris Cruzy. He's a good friend and a great partner and a big supporter of our canine. He loves our canines and has trained with their canines and does a lot of work for this community and is a great singer besides.
Yeah, we've had him on the show as well. I've known him. I met him a couple of times up there. Used to see him all the time at all the pubs, but not much anymore because he's a big shot. But he's coming back. He's a great, great guy. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you talked about your career and some of the events you want to, got to wrap it up. But the worst thing I'm going to guess in your 12 years was the Jamie Kloss thing. That had to be the worst day of your life, but the best day of your career is probably when they found Jamie Kloss. That had to be, it was full circle. The emotions you must have had during those 4 or 5 months had to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a long 88 days when she escaped and she saved herself and was able to call 911. That's the best 911 call. It still gives me chills today to listen to that. And she's doing great. She just turned 15 and she's doing wonderful, and that's all we can ask for, and it's just a remarkable story. But, yeah, that was a long 88 days.
Every day's a gift, young man. Thank you for everything you do. I want to try to meet you personally, and maybe you and I play a round of golf, so I got to beat somebody. I can't beat anybody down here, so I got to come up and beat you,
I guess. You can beat me, so we'll play.
Take care of yourself, young man.
All right, take care.
Yeah, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. We'll be right back with – we got a special guest right now. We got Byron Eilertsen. You ever caught a 10-pound walleye?
Nope.
You ever caught 100 10-pound walleyes?
Nope.
Be right back. You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Get out and do something. Save $8 a ticket when you buy your ERX Motor Parks Off-Road National tickets. 2 action-packed days of high-flying off-road racing returns to ERX August 15th and 16th on DealsOnRadio.com. Deals on Radio. Jeff Jones here, and the hunt is still on. That's right. The 2020 Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt is still on for Wednesday, September 30th at Sandpine Pheasants and Gold Meadows Hunting Preserve. Sandpines is sold out, but we still have room to hunt at Gold Meadows. Get in on the games, the guns and prizes, and fun while raising money to help people with disabilities and mental illness. Sign up now before it's too late. Text Cackle to 76278 or go to reachforresources.org to join the hunt. Bison Steel Buildings is recognized as the industry leader in all steel buildings, providing the highest quality buildings on the market today at factory direct pricing. Made with 100% American steel and built in the USA with 50-year structural warranty. Pre-order now and save thousands. Take delivery whenever you're ready. Custom made for your building needs, shop, storage, or warehouse. For a free quote or for more information, go to bisonsteel.com. You dream it, we build it. Bison Steel Buildings, Minnesota buildings for Minnesota people.
Hey, Bob Country, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life. And guess what? Summer has not been canceled. Fishing for Life has all kinds of events for you and your family. Virtual fishing classes where you can sign up as a family. You get to choose which class to go after, pike, bass, beginning panfish, or big catfishing. We train you over 3 nights of virtual, and then we assign a guide to you, and you get outdoors. Learn more and sign up at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Hey, let's get right into this. Byron Eilertsen. Byron, how are you doing, yes, my friend? Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Hey, good evening, Steve.
Hey, Byron, spell your last name. Is it E-L-L-E-R-T-S-O-N?
E-I-L.
So it's still so it's Eilertsen then, right?
Yep, the I is kind of silent.
Well, you maybe look stupid, pal.
Hey, no.
That's not hard.
It's not hard. My buddy Mark says, no, it's not hard. Mark Lukey is my buddy next to me. He's the producer of the show. And say hi, Mark.
Hi, Byron. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, more than welcome to talk about, hey, my situation of catching all those walleyes and that.
You know, it's a great experience. And when someone reads that, I've got a 12-pound walleye in my wall. It was my dad's. He caught it from Vermilion. Oh, I don't know. It's got to be 30 years ago by now because he's been dead 31. I don't. You figure it out. But and it's a. I look at that fish, and that's one. And he's fished his entire life as well. But my dad, all he used was a Little Joe spinner and a leech, and that was it for the rest of his life. And you've caught 110-pound walleyes. How did this whole why did you even start counting how many 10-pound walleyes you've caught?
What happened? You know, I got my first boat in '77 and started fishing Mille Lacs. You know, and. Otherwise, I, you know, grew up in a small town, no lakes close and that, and once I got a job in the Twin Cities, Mille Lacs, you know, was 80 miles away,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I started going there. I was teaching in Fridley, and then we had a teacher's fishing group, and with that, you know, fish Mille Lacs regularly, and then every weekend, I started going to Mille Lacs fishing, learning the lake itself, mud flats, and actually learned how to Lindy rig there. Never knew about it before. And that's kind of how it started, and I started counting. You know, a cute story with my dad, you know, we'd come to Lake of the Woods, And they were using leeches up here in Lindy rigs, and I'll say 1978, 79. So I bring leeches up here in a Lindy rig and take my dad fishing, and we're drifting. I catch one, I catch three, I catch five. Ask him, do you want to switch, Dad? He says, no, I'll stick with this June bug spinner, a minnow. I catch 10, and of course back then it was six fish limit, and I caught my 11th, and I said, Dad, do you want to switch? And he said, no, you catch the other one, then we're filled out. So that was kind of, you know, started fishing Lake of the Woods that way, you know, also, and then, you know, in the 80s, the Fridley teachers would make a trip up here, you know, a four-day trip and so on, and then we'd rent, you know, a cabin for a week at Arneson's, and you know, in the early years, Arneson's didn't have any motors, you know, in the 50s, 60s, so we'd oar out front and catch all kinds of fish. You know, I always call them quarter pounders because at that time they were netting.
Yeah.
You know, Lake of the Woods. Right. So that's kind of how it got started. And then over the years, getting a cabin at Arneson's, Rocky Point on Lake of the Woods, you know, been here for in the cabin 20 years and you know, fishing, you know,
regularly,
you know, that's when it started to take hold. And, you know, my idea, you know, going into it was, okay, the Minnesota record is what, 17-6?
Oh, yeah. Huh,
Lake of the Woods might hold that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Paula a teacher as well? Because she's back there correcting your grammar.
She was a teacher too, yeah.
Well, was she really?
For a while.
No. I teased you. I talked to both of you guys a couple of days ago, and I teased both of you. I said, you know, more unbelievable than catching 100 walleyes is this lady staying with you for 40 years, wherever the hell it's been by now. But
50.
We just
celebrated our 50th anniversary.
Yeah. I think she called herself boat hostage, is what she told me she was, as a boat hostage at one time or something like that.
That could be. I wasn't around, probably.
No.
Are you, of course, Lake of the Woods, Devil's Lake is one of our premier sponsors, and we go there regularly, and we do really well. We love Devil's Lake, and it's such a fishery with 170,000 acres. We're going to be going there this weekend. You were born and raised in North Dakota, and you've never been on Devil's Lake.
No, I'll tell you, you know, the early years, you look at in the 50s, 60s, that was really an alkali lake. You know, all the research and you know, throughout the years, you know, probably the early 90s, late 80s and that, it started to change, you know, the water table shifted, et cetera, and it started to, you know, expand because
crazy.
Of that. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, those early years, you know, nothing lived, especially on the north end.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting, you know, growing up there and not fishing it at that time. You didn't think too much about it.
We just had a young man named Jason from Perch Eyes Guide Service up there. He's got 7 guides completely in his company, and they all work full-time. That's the only thing they do 12 months out of the year, which is rare. So Devil's Lake is quite a place to go as well. Let's get back to Lake of the Woods. Okay, now you caught over 110-pound walleyes. Is there one time of the year that you feel better about than any other season?
Oh, you know, I like late July and August, you know, for big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I kind of target. You know, all these years, you know, I've caught plenty of eaters and other type of fish. But the big fish start to hit the reefs at that time, you know. And one way to catch them, you know, is Lindy rigging or spinners. And, and I tend to use, you know, more spinners now because they like that action and or reaction, you know, to that spinner blade. So this time of year is a great time to catch, you know, big fish on most of the reefs. You know, and if one reef isn't biting, you go to another one. And, you know, at Lake the Woods here, especially Arneson's area, there's a lot of reefs, so you can try.
You know, my son Michael is up there regularly, and I don't even know the name of the place he stays at. It's not Ballard's, it's not Arneson. Somebody else he knows has a smaller resort, and it's funny because there's a lot of water, there's a lot of fish up there. But every time Mike goes there, they've got to go 25 miles from wherever they are to go catch fish. I mean, how far do you have to go from Arneson's to catch the stuff that you've been trying to catch?
No, you could, you know, today I had a launch trip, you know, at Arneson's, and they took 6 people out, a family, and that. And we had to go a mile and a half to fish one of the reefs here. And we limited out, actually we got, you know, kept 34 fish for it with saugers and everything. Yeah. And there wasn't a boat around us, so other boats, you know, go other places and that. But, you know, reefs are mile and a half, 3 miles, 4 miles, 8 miles. They're that close, all
yeah,
the reefs
nice.
Are 5 miles.
Yeah.
So, but what I like to do this time of year is go over by the Canadian border, night and bridges. A lot of structure over there, and not too many people, because like your buddy says, hey, we got to drive 20, 25 miles, and those where the reefs are at, especially if you're fishing the, you know, out of the river.
We're going to be up there in September, normally late September, and I think it should be a pretty progressive time of the year for us to go. Normally at that time of the year, what do you use for bait? What is your presentation like at that time of the year?
At that time, you know, still, you know, last year we used spinners and crawlers, you know, kind of surprising. This is the latest I've actually seen that happen in September, but it really worked well. But usually the first week in October, you know, anchor up on the reefs and start jigging with shiners, frozen shiners.
Right. You've caught over 100
walleyes. You can get a few live shiners at that time, too, because they start to run in the river and that, but if you just use a frozen shiner and jig up on any of the reefs, so
we're talking to
fish this time of year.
All right, we're talking with Byron Ellardson. He's from from North Dakota originally, and a teacher in Fridley. Now he and his wife Paula live up on Lake of the Woods. Tell me, has there been a 14 or 15 pound walleye that you thought you had on that you didn't bring in?
You know, I have a couple of 14 pound walleyes that I've caught, but 15, no. You know, I've had some bigger ones on, and because of the waves, you didn't get them. You know, they ripped the hook or whatever, because the waves, you know, you are drifting with them, and you can't quite pull them in there because they're so strong. But, no, I haven't caught anything, you know, 15 pounds, but...
That's plenty, Byron. Yeah. How about now? Are you using all braided line right now? Everyone's changing to braided line. Is Byron changing to braided line?
I've used fire line for a number of years. I use crystal because you can see it. You know, Power Pro is green, and it's really tough to see, just like smoke, you know, fire line.
Yeah.
So the crystal you can see on the water much better where your line is at. So, yeah, I use that. I only use 10-pound. You know, that's all.
Okay, 10-pound
test. Of course,
test,
that's 2-pound diameter.
Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Byron, do you open the bail when you get a bite to let it suck it in, or you set the hook right away?
You know, I'm a Lindy fisherman. I have the bail open, my finger on the line. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, you might feel a bite, and then all of a sudden it doesn't. And the key is, you know, on that there, I always say a fish is following it. Drop back. Tip your rod tip back into the water, and that fish will attack it. And I've caught so many fish doing that, and people don't realize, you know, you got to have some action on that rod tip. You know, don't just hold it in one place.
Yeah, hey,
so that's kind of the key, you know, catching fish and a lot of big ones.
Well, you've caught a lot of big ones. I'll tell you what, you've caught a lot of big ones, and this is going to be a difficult question. I'm not the first person to ask this. Tell us one of the most memorable catches you've ever had, whether it was yours or one of your guests.
Well, I'll tell you mine. You know, again, this happened August 21st, 2010. And, you know, you go with the intention of fishing one of these reefs on the east side of Lake of the Woods, and hey, you hope to catch a 30-incher. And I brought another group of people out there. They had their own boat because the guy had never been there before. So I dropped my line. The first fish is a 31 and a quarter. And hold it up, take a picture. And then about an hour later, fishing around the reef again, I catch another 30 and a quarter inch fish. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
that's pretty exciting. About 2 hours later, I hook into another big one, and it happened to be, you know, 30 and an eighth inches. So now I have three, and I'm thinking, hey, wow. These other guys that I was fishing with, two other guys hadn't caught one over 25 inches, and what's the deal? So we're winding down. We went to another reef, and lo and behold, I catch another 30-incher.
Man.
So 4 30-inchers in one day is quite a feat. I never thought going in that would ever happen, but it did.
Back then, everybody mounted those monsters. How many walleyes have you got on the wall?
I have 7.
Okay. That's plenty.
That's all.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. I love your laugh, Paula. I love your laugh.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. How far is Arneson from Ballard's? Because that's where we're going to be staying September 24th.
Yeah, by water, it's about 20 miles.
All right. I might.
So, you know, from driving time and, you know, 20, 25 miles. So,
half an hour.
You know,
yeah.
They're on the river, all of those resorts, you know,
right.
Ballard's,
right.
Wigwam, so on.
Well, maybe we'll piss Ballard's off and come up to Arneson to have you guide us with the launch one of those days. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly could work out, you know, and that's no problem in that. So, I do guide because I have my captain's license and so
good
on.
Good for you. I'll bring my own cocktails, I promise you. Hey, I'll tell you what, I got a story for you. You can deny this if you want to, but I heard about your grandson, Bryson, who is now he's 10 years old. But when he was 6 years old, you guys had him at the lake for a week and decided to do and Bryson had a little contest. He's dragging snap weights to make it fun for him. And 31 fish were caught. And Bryson reeled in all but to himself, he said, in his mind. Grandpa, of course, helped all the time. But Bryson brought in 29 fish. And Papa caught 2 is what he thought. And on the drive home to the Twin Cities, the conversation went something like this. I heard, he said, I beat Papa fishing yesterday. Papa's a good fisherman, except when it comes to tournaments.
Who told you that?
Oh, I don't know. I did some research. But that's a fun
kind of
story.
Kind of interesting, you know, on that story, too, because, you know, we said, okay, we're tied, you know, Tyson and I. So drop our lines. We got 5 minutes to fish.
Yeah.
Just a mini tournament.
And I drop the snap weights down again, and I catch a 22. And he was so dejected, you know, and that I reeled it up. Well, I guess I caught the biggest. And lo and behold, I looked over at his pole. It's bending.
Oh, fun.
Catches a 25.
What a thrill. Hey, Byron, we got to let you go. The 4-Hour Outdoorsman wraps it up here about 7 o'clock. You're a wonderful guy. Paula, thanks for being so nice as well for sharing that story. We'd love to have you on again. And I promise you, Byron, I'm going to call you when we get up to Ballard's, and I'm going to either take a drive up and spend a little time with you and maybe try to catch a fish as well, but I'd love to meet you face-to-face. It'd be a thrill for me.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. You have my number, you know, and any time,
all right,
Steve.
All right, Paula, take care of yourself, and thanks. Thanks to you as well for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you bet. Take care of yourself. Isn't that he's got 7 10-pound-plus walleyes hanging on his wall.
I could learn some from that, man.
I think we got to find out what he likes to drink and bring him a bottle, huh?
Yeah. I just want to be in the boat when that happens, man. That's
anyway, awesome. Here's what's coming up from us, and whenever you want to start the music, it's fine with me, but we're heading to Devil's Lake on Thursday. Be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming home Sunday. Be back for the show, and hopefully we've got some good news for you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be a great trip. I can't wait to go to Devil's Lake with you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're doing it all. Devil's Lake tourism, we're doing it all, not just fishing. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys have a safe week. Brandon, thanks for helping us out. Everybody have a great week. And Mark, have you got any advice for anybody?
Make sure you get outside and make some memories.
And we're going to do that. Take care, everybody.